In this session, we will look at what is still one of the most common benefits offered by employers to their employees today. That is, the provision of a company car and fuel for private motoring.
Latest Treasury figures show that in 2007-08, over 1 million company cars have been provided to directors and employees. These had an overall taxable benefit value of £4 billion, and the fuel benefit charge took the total taxable value to just short of £5 billion. Almost £2.5 billion is raised per year in tax and national insurance on company cars, which is comparable to the total raised by inheritance tax.
If a car is provided to a lower-paid employee who is not a director, the benefit is tax-free. This is unusual in practice, and for other employees, special rules exist to enable us to calculate the cash equivalent on the provision of a company car. A benefit will arise when a car is made available by an employer for the exclusive use of a particular employee. It doesn't matter whether the car is owned by the employer or leased by the employer from a third party. The employee will have a taxable benefit in respect of the private use of the car. The cash equivalent depends on a number of factors. Our starting point in calculating car benefits is the list price of the car when it is first registered, i.e., when brand new. This is not necessarily the same as the price actually paid by the employer for the car. In practice, if you need to ascertain the manufacturer's list price, take a look at Parker's or Glass's handbook, which contains details of all car prices. The cash equivalent also depends on the vehicle's carbon dioxide, CO2, emissions. Finally, the benefit depends on whether the car was available for the whole of the year. As is the case with most benefits, if the employee does not have the benefit for the whole of the year, we need to do an apportionment to arrive at the cash equivalent. Later on in this session, we will look at the separate benefit that arises when an employer provides the employee with fuel for his or her private motoring. We will now put all of these variables together into a company car pro forma. We start with the list price of the car when new, and to this, we add on the cost of any accessories provided with the car. For example, if you buy a new car, the garage will charge you extra if you want leather seats or a CD player, etc. So we need to add on these items. The next step is to knock off any capital contributions made to the employer by the employee. A capital contribution is a one-off payment made by the employee to enable the employer to provide a better car. So, list price plus accessories minus capital contributions gives us a revised list price, which in the pro forma we have called D. This list price cannot exceed a maximum ceiling of £80,000 for tax purposes. So you could argue to your employer that it's actually quite tax efficient for him to provide you with a Ferrari with a list price of £150,000, as this list price is capped.
However, you should be aware that this cap is being abolished from the 6th of April 2011.
A small point about accessories is that if an accessory is added to the car after it was first made available to the employee, we only need to add on the cost to the list price if the accessory cost more than £100. If not, we can ignore it. With regard to capital contributions, the maximum deduction from the list price is £5,000. Therefore, if an employee makes a capital contribution of £1,000, this amount is deducted from the list price. However, if an employee makes a capital contribution of £6,000, only £5,000 is knocked off. Having arrived at list price, we will now move on and calculate the cash equivalent. The cash equivalent is the list price multiplied by a certain percentage. This percentage will depend on the amount of carbon dioxide emitted by the car.
As we shall see later, the maximum charge is 35%. If the car cannot emit CO2, there will be no benefit charge for 2010-11 to 2014-15. From 2015-16 onwards, the percentage used to calculate the benefit will be 9%.
So we can see two things here. Firstly, the benefit depends on the type of car we have. The more expensive the car, the higher the benefit. Secondly, employees who drive around in large cars with high CO2 emissions will pay more tax than those who are more environmentally friendly and have use of cars with low emissions. Therefore, the list price, multiplied by the appropriate percentage, gives us the basic cash equivalent. Here, we have called this figure E. The benefit is reduced if the car has not been available to the employee for the whole of the tax year. For example, the employee may have been given use of the car partway through the year, or he may have returned the car to the employer before the end of the year. We do a simple pro rata apportionment by removing the number of months during which the car was not available to the employee.
For example, if I joined a company on, say, the 1st of January 2011 and was given use of a car on that date, I will have had the car for only 3 months of 2010-11, so I strip out 9/12 of the car benefit.
As is the case for the vast majority of benefits, if the employee makes a contribution towards the benefit, these contributions reduce the cash equivalent. This is quite common in practice, as with many car schemes, employees make monthly contributions to their employer for the use of the car. These act to reduce the taxable benefit.
However, the payments must be specifically for the private use of the car. If the contribution is towards a specific aspect of the car's running costs, such as insurance, or is to enable an employee to have use of a more expensive car, then the payments will not be deductible. Agreements entered into in respect of payments in relation to a company car should therefore be structured carefully, or are likely to be successfully challenged by HMRC.
Hopefully, at the end of all this, we are left with the car benefit for the tax year. This cash equivalent will be entered by the employer on the employee's P11D. The next step is to determine the relevant percentage. List price is multiplied by a percentage which depends entirely on the car's recorded CO2 emissions. The higher the emissions, the higher the percentage. Carbon dioxide emissions are measured in terms of the grams per kilometre of gas emitted from the car.
As we have seen, if the car cannot emit CO2, there will be no benefit in 2010-11 to 2014-15. This is actually achieved by multiplying the list price by 0%. For low-emission cars that emit CO2 at a rate of 75 grams per kilometre or less, the relevant percentage is 5%. Where low-emission cars emit CO2 at a rate of 76 grams per kilometre to 120 grams per kilometre, the benefit will be calculated using a percentage of 10%. For all other cars, there is a baseline figure of 130 grams per kilometre in 2010-11. This means that all cars emitting CO2 at a rate of 121 to 130 grams per kilometre will be taxed at the minimum rate of 15%. The baseline will reduce to 125 grams per kilometre in 2011-12. The relevant percentage will increase by 1 for each additional 5 grams per kilometre of CO2 emitted above 130. For example, a car with recorded CO2 emissions of 135 grams per kilometre will be taxed using a percentage of 16%, and so on. The formula for calculating the percentage is as per your screen. We take the CO2 emissions of the car and deduct the baseline figure of 130. We divide the result by 5 and add it to the minimum of 15% to give the relevant percentage. This is then multiplied by the list price of the car to give the basic cash equivalent.
Let us illustrate this by running through an example. An employee has use of a company car with a list price of £20,000. Accessories are added to the car at a cost of £2,000. The employee made a one-off capital contribution of £4,000 for the use of the car.
The car has recorded CO2 emissions of 185 grams per kilometre. The revised list price of the car is the basic price plus the accessories less the capital contribution, giving £18,000. We multiply this by a percentage. Emissions are 185. We deduct the baseline of 130 and divide by 5.
This gives us 11, which we add to the minimum figure of 15% to give a relevant percentage of 26%. The car benefit is the list price multiplied by 26%, being £4,680. In reality, CO2 emissions figures are exact numbers and are not rounded to the nearest whole multiple of 5. For tax purposes, we are allowed to round down to the nearest 5 grams per kilometre. For example, if a car has a CO2 emissions figure of 199 grams per kilometre, we would round this down to 195 to determine the percentage. The percentage can never exceed 35%. This rate will therefore apply for all cars with an emissions figure of 230 grams per kilometre or above. There is a 3% supplement for cars which run on diesel, i.e. an additional 3% is added to the relevant percentage. This is because diesel engines are less environmentally friendly than petrol engines. The 3% supplement cannot take the relevant percentage above 35%. There are also discounts for cars running on liquid petroleum gas, LPG.
There is also a 2% discount for cars running on bioethanol. The reduction for cars running on alternative fuels will be withdrawn from 2011-12.
Certain vehicles, particularly old ones, will have no recognised or recorded CO2 emissions figure. In these cases, the percentage we use to calculate the benefit will be based on the engine size of the vehicle. The engine size is measured in terms of the vehicle's cylinder capacity in cubic centilitres. The percentages for cars registered before the 1st of January 1998 are as per your screen. As you will see, these rise from a minimum of 15% for small cars to 32% for larger vehicles. The percentages are slightly different for cars registered on or after the 1st of January 1998. Again, the minimum is 15%, this time rising to the usual upper limit of 35%. Once again, a 3% supplement is added for diesel cars, again capped at a maximum of 35%. The benefit is reduced if the employee does not have use of the car throughout the whole of the tax year. This will apply if an employee joins a company partway through the year and is given use of a car, or if an employee leaves the company and has to return the car. Apportionment is done on a monthly basis, by removing the benefit arising in the period in which the employee did not have use of the car. Let's look at the effect on the benefit of a car being repaired, i.e. sitting in the garage for a while and therefore not available for the employee to use. Assume that at some point during the year the car is off the road, being repaired or serviced or having its MOT. A non-availability deduction can only be made if the car is off the road for a continuous period of at least 30 days. Therefore, if the car is in the garage for 1 week having a few minor repairs, this will have no effect whatsoever on the car benefit calculation. However, if the car is involved in a serious accident and is off the road for, say, 2 months, we would take a non-availability deduction of 2 out of 12 months. For example, assume an employee has use of a company car with a list price of £12,000. The car has a CO2 emissions level of 142 grams per kilometre. The employee is given use of the car for the first time on the 1st of July 2010, i.e. partway through 2010-11. The employee makes contributions of £40 per month to the employer for the use of the car. During the year, the car was off the road for 3 weeks having some minor repairs after an accident. Our requirement is to calculate the taxable benefit. The starting point is the list price of £12,000. We multiply this by a percentage based on the car's CO2 emissions, which is 142 grams per kilometre. As this is not exactly divisible by 5, we round down and assume an emissions figure of 140. The relevant percentage obtained from the formula is 17%. We multiply this by the list price to give a basic cash equivalent of £2,040. As the car was only available to the employee from the 1st of July 2010, i.e. for 9 months of the tax year, we must take a non-availability deduction for 3/12 of the benefit. The benefit is therefore reduced by £510. Note that no reduction has been made for the 3 weeks during which the car was being repaired, as this period is less than 30 days. The employee is required to make a contribution of £40 per month for use of the car. As is the case for the majority of benefits, employee contributions act to reduce the cash equivalent. The contributions in the 9-month period during which the employee had the car were £360, giving a taxable benefit of £1,170. This figure will be entered by the employer onto the employee's P11D at the end of the year.